Can you sing? Can you dance? Pull a rabbit from your pants? Make a rhyme? Tell a joke? Burp when you drink a Coke? That's not a talent.
Nope.
Jump a hurdle, do a flip, get your dog to do a trick. Top talent.
Top talent.
Play piano, play guitar, hit a ball really far. Are you a superstar? Let's find out who you are. That's the end of this song. It's already too long. Top talent. Everybody.
Top talent.
Top talent. This is my podcast. Can't sing this anymore because the words are too fast. Yeah, I better start the show or I'm not going to last. Top talent. Let's get at it.
Welcome once again to Top Talent. This is a podcast that originates from the Capital Region of upstate New York, and my name is Richie Phillips. I was a former radio co-host for almost 30 years. I retired 7 years ago, and now I'm playing radio in my basement with my little toys. But I'm really enjoying doing this podcast, and it's not often that you get a chance to talk to someone of this stature, someone related to someone of incredible stature as well. I'm going to be speaking with Georgette Jones. I think that name possibly rings a bell. The daughter of George Jones and Tammy Wynette. Oh my God. How much more country royalty can you expect than this guest? And we're going to be talking about a lot of different things, and mostly talking about her appearance, because she's going to be here. For you folks who are listening beforehand, I know that's not how podcasts work a lot of times, but if you are listening beforehand, she's going to be here in beautiful Glens Falls, New York, at the Wood Theater in Glens Falls. It's a 3 o'clock show on October the 29th. She'll be singing her own songs. She'll be doing a question and answer type of thing with the audience, and this is all part of the great Kevin Richards Productions. He does these up close and personal shows here. He's done them with everything from Randy Travis to Susie Boggess to Billy Dean, some of the classic artists from the 90s and the late 80s. He's done great shows here and continues to do it. He's going to have a couple of tribute artists coming, a Kenny Rogers tribute artist. He's got a lot of things planned, and he's got this one planned as well. She's got a book out, Three of Us, Growing Up with George Jones and Tammy Wynette. And I know you'd have to be living under a rock to miss the fact that this book became an incredible biopic. I watched the whole thing and was absolutely blown away by the acting, and the script was just incredible. But I don't want to talk too much more about that, because it's all contained in this interview with Georgette Jones. There are tickets still available, and you can contact the Wood Theater, woodtheater.org. And that's in, of course, Glens Falls, New York. There are tickets available at the time of this recording, and it's going to be a great, great show. So let's get on with my talk with Georgette Jones here on
Top Talent.
Georgette, so great to talk to you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's great to talk to you, too.
Georgette, I'm trying to, like, list all the credits to you. You're an author, tell me if I'm wrong, singer, songwriter.
Yes.
I'll keep going.
Yes. I do a few things. I wear many hats and lots of irons in the fire. It makes variety is a spice of life.
Absolutely.
Right?
I'm going to throw in one more. You know, just that, you know, Emmy nominated co-producer of that biopic, right? I mean,
isn't that crazy? I'm still pinching myself. I'm just so incredibly grateful and feel very blessed. So lots of wonderful things have been happening.
Well,
for sure.
I binged the last couple of days. And my Aww. Wife already had seen it, and I saw the first episode, and I don't know why. You know how you get, like, sidetracked with everything? There's 10,000 things to watch.
Oh, it's easy to do,
yeah.
Yes.
So then I said, all right, I've already watched number one, but I watched that a while ago. So I watched 2 through 6. Or is it 6? It's totally 6, right? Yeah.
Yes.
And then
yes.
I'm at the end, it's like midnight, and I went, I better watch number one. so I did.
Yes.
I did my homework.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it enough to want to watch it all the way through.
Well, awesome. Actually, the word enjoy is interesting. In fact, I was going to start this by saying, finish this sentence. I was going to throw this out to the public. When you finish watching George and Tammy, the biopic, you will definitely be, I mean...
Wow. I mean, I think for me, I can't speak for anyone else, but for me, because it is so personal, it's very much so an emotional
yes.
roller coaster for me. I'm pretty exhausted from when I watched it. It was very, very emotional and brought up so much to think about that we've, you know, some of these things that you kind of tuck away because they are painful for so many years, and then you bring it back out, you know, for something like this. And it's a tough one. It's like, on the one hand, it's difficult to watch for me, but then on the other hand, I feel like they did an amazing job. They did a lot of extensive research and talked to so many people, not just me, not just our family, but so many people to try to get, you know, the most accurate and truthful story that they could portray. And I'm just so happy that they finally were able to tell my parents' story. And maybe their story might be able to help somebody. Maybe someone will be able to see, you know, my parents were ordinary people, you know, even though they were idolized by many for what they did in country music, they were ordinary people with real demons and real problems. And just like everybody else, they struggled with how to deal with things in their life.
Sure. You can't say at the end of that sentence, entertained. Entertained is not the word after you watch that. No.
Oh, no. Yeah, definitely.
I'm going to say moved.
Educated, maybe. Exhausted. Yes, moved. That would be a great word.
And educated. Educated is a good word, too, because the way they portrayed it, you respected their musicianship.
Well, thank you. And that was important for us. We wanted people to not just see the trauma, which of course there certainly was plenty of that. I mean, and to be honest, we had to show a large degree of that. But we also, I feel like that they pulled off being able to show the gentle and loving and caring sides to everyone, not just, you know, not just the craziness of the business and how it tore everybody apart. I'm hoping that they could see both of their personalities. They both were very loving and loyal and wonderful people, and they had characteristics that we all have. And I think that was just the biggest thing that we wanted people to realize. You know, we do put a lot of people on pedestals, and there's a lot of people we all admire in this life, but no matter who they are, we are all really so much the same. We're all just human, and we all have to try to meddle through this life and figure it out somehow or
absolutely,
another.
Absolutely. And the two people that you picked, or whoever picked them, Jessica Chastain and Michael Shannon, oh my God, I'm going to go with Oscar.
Oh, thank you. Well, that would be amazing.
Now, how many tried out for those two parts? I'm just interested.
Well, I will tell you that luckily for us, Jessica Chastain actually signed on before anything was even 100% official. Luckily for us, she connected to what Abe Sylvia was writing immediately. In fact, he spoke with her before they even talked to me about using my book or asking me to consult to help with the project. So she, way back from the beginning, in fact, they started talking to me in February of 2013, and she had already been talking to Abe, I think, since 2011.
Oh.
So she really stayed on the entire time. Josh Brolin originally was the first thought of who they wanted to play for my dad. And he was in a production company that was working with another production company for Andrew Lazar, who did, they did still continue to produce together. But I think Josh had so many projects on his hand because we had a few delays here and there. Is anybody... I got to tell you, this business is maybe even crazier than the music business.
That's impossible.
But I know, right? So we had a few delays, a few things that we thought, oh, it might, you know, get derailed. And then finally, in the end, we ended up having Michael Shannon play Dad. And I think they both did such an incredible job and really went way and beyond what most actors have to do, I think, trying to capture their personalities and be true to them. And
I was watching that and thinking, can you imagine if in real life they actually hated each other? How could they possibly, how could they have gone to work?
I know, right?
No,
exactly. But the good thing about them too, and I learned that very quickly, and I think they have such a great relationship. They're friends off screen and have been working together on and off for many years on other projects. And I think that's really what helped. They already knew they had a wonderful chemistry on screen. And it really was so easy for them because they're so creative and able to work together so well that I think that definitely came across in what they did together on the screen for our project. For sure.
I also have to ask you, as I'm watching it, do you or do you not personally have cameos in there? Are you being... Yeah.
I do. I'm actually in two places.
All right, don't tell me, because I want to see if I got it right. Watched 2 through 6, and then when I watched number 1, in the audience, when Jessica, you know, the character first comes to the concert to see him, and that's when they first basically connect. Are you or are you not right by the stage, right next to her?
No, oh. I'm not in the early scene. Now, I will tell you, I was there watching them film that. So even though they couldn't see the back of the audience, and that's in the old Ryman Auditorium downtown. And my sister and I were actually sitting way in the back watching them film that. But I was not in the back there.
Oh, darn it. I thought that was you.
A lot of people also thought it was me, possibly, when they showed the girl who was in the studio that was seeing the ooze on. And that was not me either. That was but the two that was me. The first one, they're showing what would be Mom and Dad singing together on stage doing Golden Ring, where he kind of stops and asks her, you know, a question. And, you know, it's a big to-do about him asking about her being happy, you know, married and all that, since she had moved on. And and there's me and three other guys in the background singing background vocals. So it's a very quick blip. But the biggest scene is the very end on the bus, where I was honored that they asked me to sing with both Jessica
okay,
and Michael.
I did see that.
As my parents
That's
on the
right.
bus. So that was me at the
okay,
very end.
So I got one out of three right. This is definitely one interview where I can't say, gee, who are your musical influences? Because I think you know the answer, right?
Well, certainly, I mean, definitely my parents. And I think the older I got, you know, most kids, I think we're all pretty similar, that when we're younger, you just don't think about what your parents are doing as something special right. until you're old enough to really realize. And so as I got older, I certainly appreciated their talent and the things that they accomplished as I got older. But some of my other influences besides them, certainly Loretta Lynn and Dolly Parton, sure. But also like Linda Ronstadt and Bonnie Raitt. Like I liked a lot of the country blues or country rock kind of stuff back in the 70s and 80s. I was born in 70, so very much so a 70s and 80s musical influenced kind of thing, both in rock and in country music.
Right,
so.
And you're an artist in your own right, which made me also think, your name being Georgette Jones, everybody knows that you are connected, but you are inextricably, what a big word, connected with that person. So I can see that being a real double-edged sword when you're doing this as an artist for yourself, because they're connecting you with that. And maybe you didn't even like country music. What would happen if you wanted to do a completely different genre?
Well, you know, it's definitely difficult, because I think that's always been the problem with me when it came to anyone considering whether or not they wanted to sign me for, you know, music as an actual career. You know, when I was younger, I didn't start really doing music full time until after my mom passed away. My mom died when I was 27. And it was a few years after that I started really doing more music. But I had stayed away my whole life, really, because I was terrified of how people might judge me or compare me. Because how in the world could you possibly be positively compared in that light when I have two parents who have done so well and been so successful in what they do? And it is difficult, because there was a time I had a demo deal with RCA, and they were hoping possibly to sign me, but their concerns were, we don't want you to be too country, because we feel like you can't possibly compare positively
exactly.
in that light, but we don't want you to go too far away from your parents' fan base, because that would be stupid, going away from a fan base who, you know, would be built in to like someone like me if I sang something, you know, that they would be okay with. But the whole thing for me was, as an artist, I didn't want to worry about any of that. I just wanted to sing music that I loved, music that I created, that I felt good about. And, you know, I think that it's a misconception for a lot of people. Unfortunately, in today's day and age, there are very few artists who have any control over what they get to sing and put out on their records. You know, if you've reached a status where you can finally pay for your own stuff and do whatever you want to do, that's awesome. But for the majority of people, you have to do what they tell you to do, or else you don't get to do it. And so for me, it was important to stay true to who I was, and it was a difficult time. Carrie Underwood just won American Idol right when they were about to sign me, and that kind of stopped everything, because they had no idea they were going to have an artist in Nashville that they were going to have to build and work with at that point, because a country artist had not won up leading up to that. Yep. So I'm actually grateful that I didn't get signed then, because like I said, I don't know that I would be making the kind of music and doing all of the things that I'd really like to be doing had I been. And I'm very happy to be able to make music full time and live this way. I'm very blessed to be able to do what I like to do and honor my parents and also sing some of my own music at the
same
time.
That's great. It's a great balance. I did country radio for 30 years. I was the co-host of a morning show here. So I saw country completely change from the 80s to the 90s. It's interesting, you know, the way it evolved. But as far as traditional country, and even your father had mentioned how he was upset, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, and I get it. I have to agree with him. You know, when you talk about evolution, I can look at any other genre of music other than country, and I can see where their roots came from.
Oh,
do you know what I mean? If you listen to punk rock, I can tell you who their influences were because I can hear it. I know what it was they're going for. But everyone has that. It's an evolution, so it kind of organically just, there's things that you can recognize, even though it may sound a little bit different. This kind of music that we're making today is, they're really, it's just such an eclectic hodgepodge of stuff that they're just calling country.
Correct.
Really, because they want it to be.
Yeah,
they just want it to be country because they're putting it on a country radio station. And unfortunately, that's the evolution. You can't go from an apple seed to an orange. I mean, it's so totally radically different. You can't even hear or recognize roots of country music in a large majority of what we hear on country radio today, which is sad to me. You know, my dad, his quote was always, our identity has been stolen, and we should be able to have room for everyone to be able to play whatever music they choose to make. Make room for all of it. The people will tell you what they want to hear. But if we don't allow them options and we just play simply 20 songs that somebody has picked to be the most popular ones, you know, it's hard to live like that and be an artist and want to create, you know, and not worry about what certain people just want you to put out, regardless of, you know, creativity.
Sure. You're right. And when you hear the songs today, you don't really have to know what the person had in mind when they were writing the lyrics, because there's no depth to the lyrics. I mean, I'm really lumping everybody in the same category. It's not totally true, but...
Well, right, and I agree with you. I mean, there's certainly some people out there who are incredibly talented.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's even some people out there, I'll go this far, I think there's some really talented people out there on country radio who just aren't country, but they certainly are incredibly talented.
Sure.
I just feel like some people are misidentified for what genre they should be singing. You know, like they should, I think that it's become the genre to go to if you didn't make it in any other genre. But it's crazy because we're the hardest ones on everyone in it. You know what I mean? Like our genre, if you're not a certain age, if you don't, you know, look a certain way, if you have to have, you know, a certain image that they can market, and if they can't, it doesn't matter how good you sing. You know, unfortunately, if you don't hit a certain mark, they're just not gonna mess with you. And it's a shame that it's that way. But the ones who make it on their own and somehow are those unique people, like the Cody Johnsons, it's because he worked his butt off and he conquered Texas, and he literally was so amazing in selling out everything out there that it made Nashville take notice and say, we want to be a part of this. So those kind of artists are the unique, you know, surprise things that I look forward to, those kind of artists, because they're amazing and I love it when they
break
through.
Like Jelly Roll.
Yeah, I mean, like, how does it happen? You're like, you just don't know who's going to break through.
Sure.
And I think that, you know, everyone has their moment and their own unique story. And I just wish we could allow everyone to make the music they want to make and, you know, let the people decide what they want to hear instead of, you know, most of the radio stations making that decision.
I may get in trouble with this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I've always been a musician myself. I play play piano and so forth. And I'm more of a music person than a lyric person. Like, when I listen to a song, I want to learn like new chords out of it and that type of thing. So I kind of steered away. I will be honest with you. When I first started on a country station, I steered away from the traditional stuff because, you know, the whole thing, it's three chords and the truth, you know, and I wasn't listening for the truth. I'm listening for the chords, you know, but I'm not kidding you. I'm not just saying this because you're the guest here. It took watching that biopic and watching all six episodes. It was like a big light bulb that hit me, because now I'll never listen to Stand By Your Man the same way again.
Oh, no, you can't, right? Not when you know all the details.
No. And then as I listen to the music itself, it's simple chords. I'm not going to lie. It's simple chords. But you couldn't have anything else but those chords. It can't be more complicated because the words are so powerful. And the only reason the words are so powerful, you really – I mean, the words are powerful on their own, but if you watch this biopic, you'll never listen to those lyrics again the same way.
Oh, certainly not. And I think that, you know, mom and dad both felt the same way about country right. music. And I remember them telling me when I was 14, both of them at different times telling me this exact same yep. thing. But their thing about country music was, it's about real people, real stories, and it's real emotion. You know, with the reason why so many people love and connected to country music in the past, and I'm sure still today, it's because historically it's been the music of the masses.
That's
it's
right.
been, you know, the people who have struggled or have had hard times, you know, it's very kin, like a cousin to the blues.
Sure.
I mean, it really truthfully is the way a lot of Southern folk expressed, you know, their hard times with what they were going through. And that's why so many people understood it, because it was very simple, basic yep. lyrics and stories about real yep. people and real things. So that's what's always been there, is that connection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And back to the production of this show, you know how you were saying that music today, you really don't have any choice. They kind of package you the way they want to package you to sell it. Did you feel
yes.
pressure doing this biopic to show more of the dysfunction than the music? Or were they constantly pushing you, oh, no, we need a little more violence here because, you know, that's not going to sell?
Yeah. I mean, I will say that there was, to a degree, some outside Hollywood pressure that, very luckily, I had the most wonderful people to work with, because they weren't having it. You know yep. what I mean? First of all, Abe Sylvia is the person who decided to write this story, write their story, and to start this whole process. And he was very much so a fan of my mom and dad's, and he knew about them and their story growing up. So he was very compassionate. He had empathy towards my family and towards them as human beings, which was a good start for me, mm-hmm. because sometimes you have people who just see, oh, this is a sensational
right.
story, because look at all the trauma. Let's just, you know, show the worst parts of everything and everyone and everybody. You can't look away from the train wreck,
yeah, exactly.
right? But thankfully, Abe Sylvia wanted to tell their story accurately. And Jessica Chastain, I'll have to say also, there were times where I think Hollywood really wanted to just focus on them and not really talk about their family, which was us, and what was happening to us with all of this going on. And she pushed for that and said, no, this is not just a singer. This is a mother,
great.
You know, and a wife. This is someone that has to show her struggle with trying to be a parent during all of this and what was everything else going on around her. So it really, I was very lucky that the people who were involved in all of this really wanted the truthful story out and really wanted to very carefully, because these are real
yeah.
people. This isn't just, you know, a story to be told. These are
that's
real people.
So great.
So it meant the world to me that they cared
that
so much.
Is so great that they had input, that they gave them input like that, you know.
Oh, they yeah. really did. I mean, Jessica, for sure. We always said she was, you know, our champion. She pushed so hard for so many things for us that, you know, we didn't know if we would get it. And to be honest, you know, like I said, she started on this in 2011. And maybe one reason why it took so long for us to get everything made was because maybe she wouldn't have had the power and input and say back then that she does now, because she's had so many successes under her belt since then. And she's wonderful. I got to watch her behind the scenes when we were filming. You know, she's not just showing up and trying to say a few lines. I mean, she really was involved with every little detail. Maybe I should wear this. Maybe we should do this instead, you know, trying to you know, help with production at every turn. And she just was, and she's such a classy, just very kind, wonderful person. I was very impressed with both her and Michael as people. You know, they're just really
yeah,
great people.
What a job they did. Amazing. Now, the thing we're not really mentioning, and the big reason I'm having you on the podcast, is I work with a gentleman named Kevin Richards, who produces these shows here, these up close and personal shows. And you're going to be here. You're going to be here in Glens Falls, New York. Have you ever been up here?
I have not. I've been to several different places in New York, but I have not been to Glens Falls, to my knowledge. So I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to it. I actually have a friend who lives not far away, and she's going to come see me, and I'm thrilled to death I get to see a friend while I'm there,
oh,
too.
Oh, that's fantastic. And this is October 29th at 3 p.m. at the Wood Theater in
yes.
Glens Falls.
Yes.
Now, have you talked with Kevin at all?
I haven't spoken with Kevin directly. I'm looking forward to actually to meeting him when I get there. It's been kind of more everybody through the internet and paperwork and a few
right.
phone calls between him and Gerald. But I'm super excited. These are the kind of shows that I love the most, the ones that are a little bit more intimate, where you can have more conversation. I'm looking forward to anybody who has questions.
Yeah, great.
You know, I'm there to sing and tell some stories. And any questions you have, I'm looking forward to answering them for you. So I would love to meet everybody.
I worked with Kevin for almost 25 years on the radio here.
Oh, awesome.
And he asked me to do a little opening act for Randy Travis, for God's sakes, out of all people.
Oh, wow.
And so Randy and his wife, do you know them? His wife, Mary?
I knew Randy very well. I have not met his new wife, uh-huh. But I've known Randy for years since I was 16 because he toured with my mom they did a GMC tour together back in
those
days.
That's right. Oh, he's just a wonderful, you know. He really, he understands yes. everything you're saying. It's just he's got that frustration of not being able to answer you.
Yes, I can only imagine how frustrating that has to be, definitely.
And Mary, his wife, just fantastic people, I'll tell you.
Oh, she sure seems to be. I'm looking forward to meeting her one day.
And the way the show worked there, and I'm sure it's going to be the same, is you're going to be singing your songs. And then, there is Q&A from the audience, so you're going to really have a lot of fun with the audience here. They're very, very loyal.
Oh, yeah, that sounds awesome. That'll be great. Yep. I always enjoy that.
That's great. Now, do you do other things like this? Other shows like this?
Well, we know most, not necessarily those with Q&As, but like we know we do a full show that's in tribute to mom and dad. And sometimes we do shows where they're kind of half and half. We'll do stuff where we do mom and dad's music and also some of my own. But we travel all across the states and out of the country as well.
Wow.
So we love getting to make music. It's a blessing to be able to do that.
Did I not see, as I was Googling your name, trying to get as much information as I could, do you do a show with also the sons and daughters of other stars?
Yeah, we have done several shows together. In fact, they do a traditional show every year in June around CMA Fest. I think the last few they've done have been at the Palace, but they were at Third and Lindsley before that. But they do one every year in honor of our parents or whatever family member. There's some that are actually grandchildren of some. So, Taylor Lynn and Trey Twitty are doing stuff from Conway and Loretta, and they're amazing. They're incredible. They tour all over and do their grandparents' music and do a wonderful job. So there's a whole bunch of us out there. Definitely.
I'm sure you've had some good conversations.
And I'm trying to keep their music alive for sure. Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is a thrill to really have you here. And you also have a book.
Yes, yes. That's actually what they originally got the idea for the TV show, for the series, to talk to me about the book that I wrote. It's called The Three of Us.
Three of Us growing up with?
With my mom and dad, yes. George
and
Tammy.
Great.
It sounds weird to call them by those names,
right.
but yes.
Great. Well, I think I have 17,000 more questions, but I guess you're doing a little recording session coming up in the next hour.
We are, but I don't know if you'll be able to be at the show or not, but I'd love to meet you. And certainly I'll be answering any kind of questions anybody has on that day. We'll have a lot of time for it.
Yeah, that's great. It's so great having you on here. And thank you very much. And I hope I can get to the show because I really would like to see it and meet you.
That would be great. And thank you so much for having me on here.
Okay,
I appreciate it.
Thanks very much. Had a great, great time talking to her, and hope you'll get a chance to see the show because it looks like it's going to be incredible, absolutely incredible. And, you know, when you were listening, you noticed that she mentioned the fact that country music today, of course, is not like it used to be. And it kind of harkens me back to a day when I was on the air and I was listening to song after song after song after song that just seemed to have the same formula. You know, like with the truck bed and the girl in tight jeans and that type of thing. It was called bro country at the time. I don't know if they still use that terminology. I got a little bro country overload that morning. And so I started writing down all the different, I guess you'd have to call them stereotypical things that they throw into country songs today. And I got a little, a little sarcastic here musically, but I wrote a song that contained every single stereotype. Actually, George Jones is mentioned in the song, but not in a negative way. You'll hear it. So anyway, this is my song. I called it Bro Country Song for obvious reasons, and here it is. I think it fit the conversation pretty well.
First you start out with a real good beat. Talk about a girl in cutoff jeans. She's gotta be blonde, can't be brunette. Throw in a cooler in a big truck bed. It's a must that you're sitting in a shotgun seat of a Silverado drinking sweet tea with a radio cranked down a country road in a sexy tank top playing George Jones. And if you've got a melody that's strong, you've got yourself a bro country song.
Bro country song.
Yep, a bro country song. That's country.
Add in a guy with a backwards hat. Must wear shades, gotta be jacked. Real tight jeans, and he can't be fat. Neck is red and covered with tats. Park that truck by the river down the hill. Pull out the blanket and the Coleman grill. Crank some Hank, break up the Bacardi. Time to get down, time to do the naughty. With this formula, you can't go wrong if you're gonna write a bro country song.
A bro country song.
Yep, a bro country song.
Country song.
It's gotta take place in a little farm town, and your truck needs a big lift kit. Make sure you sang with a country twang while you chew tobacco spit. Then you almost got yourself a hit.
Yeah.
A bro country song.
A bro country song.
Before it's over, before it's done, ride in the jug of wine in the real hot sun. It's crucial that you have a car that pulls up with an awesome candy apple ragtop. Wink at the girl who's listening to Merle. Yell out the window, you rock my world. Sit on the log, scoping out the frogs. An Angel-ass verse talking about your bird dog. You'll be on the charts before too long with your brand new bro country song.
A bro country song.
Make sure, in addition, that you do some catfishing. Then you succeeded in your mission of writing a bro country song.
A bro country song.
Yeah, I said a bro country song.
So there you go. Hope you enjoyed this podcast. Hope you enjoyed this episode. And, you know, this is, I believe, episode 75. So if you've missed the first 74, I would really appreciate you clicking on them, because I got some, you know, country stars, other stars from other genres, local celebrities, local, you know, local business people, everybody with a talent, because I believe that everybody has one. If you would like to be on the podcast, all you got to do is, you know, email me, richie1077@gmail.com. You can go to my website. My website is hirerichie.com.
HireRichie.com.
That's hirerichie.com. If you're looking for entertainment for your next event, I even write personalized songs. If you give me information, I can write a song about your organization, or I can write a song about somebody having an incredible event. I'm available. I love doing this podcast, and I hope you will listen. Please subscribe to it, and please, you know, like it and make some comments and pass it on, because I'd love to get this thing to be bigger and bigger and bigger and go national, international. Thanks a lot for listening, and see you next time on
Top Talent.